This is Amateur Logic, episode 216, for April 17th, 2026. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. When the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. If you're heading to Dayton Hamvention, May 15th through 17th, make sure you stop by ICOM's booth. We'll have a few sneak peeks at upcoming products. So come say hello and see what's on the horizon. Greetings and welcome to another exciting episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Rio.
And I'm Mike.
And it's great to be back here for an April episode. You know,
it's not Friday the 13th, so
spring That's is right. here.
It is.
Yeah.
It felt like summer today.
Yeah.
We went from winter straight into summer. Almost.
Yeah. Sure did. Well, I'm enjoying my first month of retirement here.
Yeah. How's it working out for you?
It's still a work in progress.
Yeah. I'm on my second month and I'm still having the adjustments to do.
Yep. 2 days ago, I pulled the deck off my lawnmower and changed the blades. And so that was an afternoon project. And then yesterday, I changed one shock absorber on the rear of my truck. So that was an afternoon project.
I'm not sure.
Well, now you're going to make the rest of us retirees look bad.
I was going to say, George, I don't think that's work in progress is how retirement's supposed to work.
No, but I mean, judging by the feedback I'm getting from Tommy, you hardly know the difference.
I can't tell much difference, to be honest with you. I have to stay busy as I did when I was working, too. So,
well, it's been a little better. I don't get woke up every morning. I've only gotten woke up two mornings this week because it was from folks who thought I was still working. So,
really?
Yeah. Had a guy call me this morning, said he had worked on the generator and changed out a ribbon cable in there, and the LEDs were working now. And I said, well, that's great, but I don't work there anymore.
Tell somebody who cares.
Yeah. So.
You should have said, I'm going to have to charge you $100 for this phone call.
Yeah. yeah.
Glenn said, wait till your wife gets her honeydew list together.
Wait, just you, so your viewers know, George didn't mention anything about retiring to his wife.
Oh, she still thinks you're coming out here to work?
Oh, yes. I am. I am coming out here to work. You know. I only quit two jobs. I still got three.
I understand.
Right. Them seven mice and keyboards ain't gonna run themselves, huh, George?
Nope. Never did.
I quit one. I still got two.
Well, coming up next month, Dayton Hamvention. Who's going?
You got neither one of you guys are coming, huh?
No, doesn't look like it.
Okay.
Tell me what's been going on.
Pretty much the stuff we just covered. Not too much. I got the antenna I need to get up sometime or another here pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'd hope to get it up this week, but it just didn't get a chance.
Well,
maybe next week.
Yeah. Give me a call. Give me a shout. I'll come help you.
All right. Other than that, not too much. Just usual stuff around the house. Found something kind of interesting. I did a little segment on. I thought it was kind of interesting anyway. But we'll see that shortly.
Okay. Email, what's been going on down there?
Well, as things are heating up down near the swamps, I've been still working in the shack here. Getting some new antennas, taking Mike's request to get some metal up in the air, serious. And hopefully you'll have some things starting some bigger projects and focusing on getting all the HF rigs in here back on the air and set up. So that's what I've been up to.
All right. Mike, nice. What's been going on up there?
Still working. Actually, we've had a lot of rain recently, and hopefully, you know, we had some really warm weather today, and I'm fearful that it's going to create more flooding. We're already having a problem with flooding in certain areas up here because of the melting of the snow, and this warm weather certainly is going to create a problem. But next week, I'm told we're going back to, I think it's going to be 4 degrees above freezing on Sunday. And then on Monday, they calling for snow flurries, I think.
Wow, what's this freezing stuff he's talking about?
I don't know. Yeah. We didn't really have any of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a foreign concept.
Must be. Well, Tommy, that's a nice shirt you've got on tonight.
Isn't it? And I got this from the swag shop. There's a lot of good swag out there.
The swag shop?
Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff on there. Hats, shirts, hoodies, tank tops, bags, aprons, you name it, cups. Men's and women's, ham, collagen, and amateur logic stuff. Even got the little onesies for your baby, if you got a baby. I made an announcement on Ham College, and I was going to do similar here and show the things that are on there. But we're going to Dayton, Hamvention, we just mentioned a few minutes ago. And if you wear your amateur logic or Ham College swag and represent, come see us, get your picture taken. We'll put your picture on amateur logic when we get back and get one of these cool amateur logic bumper stickers, as long as supplies last. So anyway, look us up when you're out there and get your bumper sticker if you got your swag on, and represent, fly the colors.
Those bumper stickers are courtesy of Mike, and they've been. You bought these back during COVID, and you can see how they've kind of shrunk around. You know how bumper stickers will do.
Oh, right.
You see that little white edge around there.
Well, that's a feature that makes it easier to peel the backing off.
Yeah. Seems like you bought those things and then COVID hit, so we didn't.
Yeah, we hadn't really got. I hadn't been since COVID, so this is my first time. So, anyway, we've got several of them here, and come get your picture taken, wear the colors and represent, and get your bumper sticker.
So no nose rings this year.
I don't know. We'll hold reservations on that. We'll see.
Okay.
You never know what's going to happen.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance.
Okay.
Slight chance.
So what have you been doing ham radio-wise that you would like to share with people here tonight?
Well, I ran across a website. Let's watch the video, and then we talk about it afterwards. Well, I had something a little different planned for this month's segment. I ran across something. I thought it was kind of cool, and I thought I'd just share it. It's a new website out. If you remember a couple of months ago, Emil showed us the new ham clock that runs totally in the browser. You can install it or it runs in the browser. It's a pretty amazing piece of software, and it's really cool what all they've done without actually having to do an installation. So you can basically run it on any modern browser. Well, I ran across another one. I'm not even sure where I saw it. I can't remember. It's been about a month ago, but I wrote it down and been playing around with it. It's pretty cool stuff, so I thought I'd share with you. It's called Ham Dash. The URL is hamdash.app, and you can find it here. So let's take a quick look. It's a pretty cool piece of software. It's got live DX spots, a gray line map, AI propagation prediction, space weather, band conditions, and a contest calendar, and some parks on there, summits on there stuff. Written by G0LIW, so thanks to him for the hard work. It's a really cool piece of software, like I said. So let's go ahead and put my call sign in. And 5ZNO. Set call sign. I'm just going to allow it while it's visiting the site. And let's take a quick look. We got the dashboard, call sign,
shows on the air. We've got DX spots, band reports, so you can look at the different bands. You've got the gray line, they call it the day and night terminator. Shows you the real-time gray line. There's my QTH. You got it from my grid square from my call sign. And the latest spot, CT3MD on 21265, 15 meters, 12 meters. Pretty cool band spot activity. So you can see 20 meters is pretty hot. 40 meters is pretty hot. 15 meters, pretty good. These are the propagation potentials, the AI stuff it was mentioning, I think. So it's degraded, marginal, marginal. 30 to 20 is open, marginal, degraded, degraded. A lot of information in here. Band openings predicted. DX spots. Here's another list for the DX spots. Interactive world map, real-time DX spots, and amateur radio station activity. Lots of stuff going on over to Europe. Might have to get on HF after I get finished here. Check that out. Goes on a long way. Call sign lookup. So let's look up George. W5JDX. There he is. Repeater finder within 30 miles. Find the repeaters close to me. I'm not sure what that is. That's not true. 50 miles. Okay, so K5ZRO. Not to be confused with N5ZNO. Which would be me. I'm not sure what's up with that. I'm going to have to look into that via hear ham. Maybe these are ones that are active right now. I'm not sure how they would know that. Path and bearing from grid square to grid square. I guess that's so you can know how to point your beam if you have one. Solar clock. Contest calendar, April 7th, ARS Spartan Sprint, Rollrod Sideband, April 7th, AI Propagation Synopsis. Combining solar data and band conditions for your location, AI powered analysis. I haven't done some of this stuff yet, as you can tell. Pretty cool. Space weather. D-layer absorption, ionosphere, X-ray flux, aurora. Okay, so that's the bottom of the first page. But wait, there's more. Got space weather here. Oh, it looks like it might be breaking down some of that stuff that we already had. D8. I don't think we saw that on the other screen. Beacons. So there you go. There's your beacons that can be heard or you can check. Check for propagation. Activate. I'm not going to activate, so let's look at activations. Here's some. Arizona. Park US4434. K7GUD is there. Satellites, National Space Station. So there you go, got that. Not going to be coming over me anytime soon, it looks like. QSO log. It's got a logging screen here. Export ADIF for Logbook of the World, EQSL, Club Log, and more. So that's cool. Weather safety. Lightning strikes in the area, which luckily we don't have any right now. So let's zoom out and see what we can find around. I think it looked like there was some stuff going on in Florida. There usually is. There's some. Down near where my family lives. What is this? Active strikes, I guess. Wow. Listen. You can listen to shortwave streams here. I can't really demo this because there's no speakers hooked up to this radio, but I did play with this on my Mac. And if you click these, you can actually listen to those streams. Shortwave streams. There's a directory. Frequencies. Who's on, so forth. And it's also, this is very cool too, there's a WebSDR directory. So you can go to a University of 20, WebSDR, so forth. If you click those, it opens it up in another tab. Also got a low data mode. I'm not sure what the difference is. I played around with that on my other computer and I didn't see any difference. You can change the text size, light or dark mode. There's a cat control. So anyway, that's the gist of it. It's got a lot of cool tools in there. The URL again is ham-.com, or actually ham-.app is what I saw it listed as. And it takes you to ham-.com. So anyway, I hope you found it interesting. I think it's a pretty cool site. And thanks to the author for putting all that out there. It's a nice consolidated way to get all that information in one website. 73, I hope you found it useful, and I'll see you next time.
It's like the Swiss Army knife of software for hams.
Yeah, no kidding, man. So it's got everything in there. And it's kind of nice because you can filter it down. You don't have to scroll down through that whole long dashboard. Filter it down using those menu options. There's a way to hook your radio up to it as well. You have to use Chrome or one of the ones that have a web serial API, I think. And you can hook it up like that, do cat commands. I guess it'll change your radio for you for if you go spotting DX and things. You might have to do a follow-up on that to get a chance. But pretty cool stuff. I like how they're making those web apps now that run entirely in the browser, but they look like full-featured applications. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a button at the top. You can install it, and it just basically installs a kind of a reduced browser window on your computer that you can use just to launch it. It's pretty neat.
Yep. I like the fact that more and more apps are actually, what do they call those again? They don't require installation. You run them directly. You just run them. And they don't require, you know, an install routine to get it onto Windows.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. It is. After I had the preview of your video, and after I saw it, well, actually, while I was watching it, I had to go to the site and put me a bookmark to it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I like it.
Yep. Lots of neat stuff. You could probably fill up a wall of monitors with the different ham apps that are out there like that now.
Yeah. Been thinking about writing something like that, too. I'm just not sure what.
Email. You've been on the bands making some cues and participating around and checking everybody's headwear and, you know, what's going on. Have you got a report for us?
I do. I was slumming around Facebook the other day and just so happened to run across a post from our longtime friend or show friend, K2BAG, the hat, as we call him. From
John
Baggett from Phoenix. Well, he just happened to be in the Northeast in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania up there. And he finds, you know, you guys were talking about the swag shop earlier, but he finds the strangest places that we can get the swag for Amateur Logic in these places. And that was the airport, I think, over there. There's a new airport building. Wow, look at that. AmateurLogic.tv hats right on the shelf. Can you believe it?
Awesome.
What, two for $45? Is that what that says?
I think so.
Hoodies. Okay. No, that's not a hoodie.
But, I remember John telling me once that he tried to get, because John flies around a lot, or at least he did. He tried to get one of the flight attendants to wear the hat, but he got kind of a straightforward looks. No.
Yeah. What's the other part of that story, Emil?
So, not just slumming around Facebook, right? While I'm here in the shack, I just so happened to see the K2BAG call sign go past my FT8 while I was operating. And I'm like, oh, I got to reach out to this guy. It wasn't scheduled. There was no contact. I just happened to be setting up the shack here. First call, hit him right off the bat. So I bagged the hat, y'all.
Bagged
nice.
the hat. Wow.
I think that sounds like a good T-shirt slogan.
I bagged the hat on FT8.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that could be a T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's exciting. Tell you what, why don't we take a quick break, come right back, and take a look around your shack, Emil, see what you've been up to over there.
Inspection coming up.
Stick around, any ham radio conversation, and ICOM is bound to come up. The reason is straightforward: solid receivers, clear audio, and a layout that feels natural the second you start operating. These radios are made for real on the air time, whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between. When the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. If you're heading to Dayton Hamvention, May 15th through 17th, make sure you stop by ICOM's booth. We'll have a few sneak peeks at upcoming products, so come say hello and see what's on the horizon. Hope to see you there. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for serious signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio. The IC7760 HF 50 MHz digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1KW HF 50 MHz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output performance, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote control serves as an extra control head, and up to 5 can be registered to the RF deck, though only 1 can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier grade power, all from a single unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high demand users who expect more from their gear. Together, they redefine what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. The IC7300 MK2 builds upon everything operators loved about the original IC7300, elevating it to a sharper, cleaner, and more capable HF experience. Its improved RMDR, lower phase noise, enhanced cooling, and expanded I/O options make it the next level performer for serious operators who want crystal clear reception, rock solid transmit quality, and modern conveniences that fit today's operating styles. Also, check out Sirius Performance for Sirius operators with the IC9700 VHF UHF 1.2 GHz all mode transceiver. For more information about ICOM's great amateur radios, contact icomamerica.com/amateur today.
So, Emil, the shack looks about like it did last time we visited with you, I think.
At least from this angle.
Yeah, from this angle.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff behind me and on side of me has changed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this angle's the same. maybe older.
So what have you been working on there?
So ever since I bought this Raspberry Pi 5 with the NVMe drive in it from Canikit, in their SSD hat, I've been looking for a dedicated purpose for it. Besides using it right now for the chat room, I think I found a dedicated use for it. Turned out really nice in the shack to really kind of consolidate some things and downsize some things with the connectivity to my 9100 here. So check it out.
Well, hello, George, Tommy, Mike, Amateur Logic TV viewers. Wanted to spend some time talking about one of my stations set up here in the new shack, and what I've been doing with the Raspberry Pi 5 of late with the SSD drive in it, and making it all work together. I'm pretty darn impressed by this thing so far, so let me show you what I did with it. First things first is I wanted to make sure I could use it just for plain internet access to get to all the things radio related, like the ARRL site and news and other assets or features that we, you know, all use on the ARRL site. Of course, that was very easy to do in the browsers that's built in, the Chromium browsers, but also their viewers, right, for the QST, the On the Air magazines, and the QEX, the reader is excellent from them. And on this Pi, it just makes it really easy to see and view. Their viewer is pretty nice. I usually put it in full screen mode like you see here so that I can read through it pretty easily. With that said, I also keep up with my hotspot here at the house right now using D-Star, especially since I can hook it up with the 9100. It's all the way in the house, so I could easily hit my hotspot, but more importantly, I can monitor it from over the network connection I have here at the shack now. And finally, there's the APRS.fi site, which will show me the people around me, the weather stations, and all the information that I usually look for and use for people close around. So, amazingly, the system really keeps up with it. Another thing I do is QRZ's logbook. Really keep track of my logs here, and whether it's voice or digital modes from WSJTX or just logging it right here straight from the website, which all goes up to Logbook of the World. So it gets confirmations back, and I send my contacts. So you integrate your certificate with it, and it goes right in there. So that's pretty portable, too. I like this setup of QRZ. I can log from wherever, whenever. Oh, I want to. So great thing is it really keeps up with it in general, which is I was amazed. The little Pi is doing its job very well. Pretty cool. Now one of the things worth mentioning is get yourself a pretty good USB printer type cable to go, in my case, to the ICOM's built-in USB port that has both cat control and audio interfaces built into the same interface. So once you do that and you identify with a command here, LSUSB, where those devices are or what they look at, you can see here the audio codec, Texas Instruments, and the CP210X UART bridge that's built into the ICOMs. Once you get that in there, there's methods of setting that up inside the software here under the settings, and you set the radio. You can see they have the ICOMs 9100 built in. It does put it into digital mode. Get the baud rates set up, or USB actually. And you know, when you set up all of these things, it just works. That's another thing that really surprised me about it. You do select the audio to match those codec devices so that you can transmit and receive and decode the audio. So one of the things I did learn, if you notice, I'm in kind of a dark mode here, as they call it, on the Raspberry Pi. I did have to change some of the colors so that I could recognize the people calling CQ out on the network. There's some Japanese stations out there. That's nice. Pretty late at night, 9 o'clock at night on 17 meters is open still. So again, I'm really surprised. All of this Pi does a great job of keeping up with all of that. It's a pretty good powerful processor. I think the key is the NVMe drive in this particular model from Kinekit, but it really speeds the thing up. But the Pi 5 is pretty powerful enough to do all of these things simultaneously that you're, you know, we've been talking about. So it is a very versatile tool and very usable from a station standpoint, which is exactly what I was looking for, something a little bit more lightweight than a full-fledged computer and just integrates seamlessly with the 9100. You can see they have the USB on this side of the world, which is one of the standard connectors. And then on the radio side of the world, it's the printer type connection down there. It gets you something that is RF. It's got a little choke or something to it, you know, like those guys. But that'll keep the RF out of it. But it's working great. And on this version of the Trixie Pi OS, you can simply go to the preferences, add or remove software, and find the WSJTX software.
It is 10 p.m.
It is 10 p.m. Thank you, T-Star. And find that WSJTX software and install it. So it's built in to the Pi's library of software, which I found to be very convenient. 73KE5QKR.
How many RAMs are in that Raspberry Pi 5 you've got?
How many what?
How many RAMs?
RAMs? Oh, that's an 8 gig model.
Okay.
And yeah, it literally, in that Chromium browser, I had all of those tabs, WSJTX, the command line, all of it running simultaneously. It doesn't phase that thing. Normally, you hear the fan speed up if something's really taxing it. There was nothing happening taxing that thing with all of that stuff open.
Yeah,
pretty nice.
Does that 9100 have the USB port on it, so you don't have to use an interface?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's USB. It's straight USB. That's one of the beauties of that shack in the box, as I call it.
So, have you got your check from Kanakich yet?
No. Are we supposed to?
Yeah.
You've given enough plugs.
Yeah, you helped them sell some of those. I'm guilty.
Yeah, I bought one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a chain reaction, wasn't it?
Those guys have been around for years.
But that
good stuff.
That jump to the Pi 5 with M.2 drive in it, man, that's just game changer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's like a real computer.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And they sent you the headers, too, didn't they, George, when you asked for it?
Yes.
Yeah, I got mine, too.
To extend? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that hat kind of cut them short.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's, wow, it's just like a real PC.
Mm-hmm.
WSGTX, in the meantime, has released, in general release, their release candidate for 3.0. And they're making some moves. They're changing some things on FT8, different modes, different speeds, some things coming out. So check out their SourceForge setting. If you just search for WSJTX, you'll find it. But look for the 3.0 and all their release notes in that version. So they're still developing. Got to hand it to them.
So is there something in there for doing just regular QSOs with it yet?
You just took the words right out of my mouth. Any kind of a chat mode?
If so, I'm not aware of it yet, but I'm going to go look because I haven't installed it either. Mine's still on, I forget the last one, 2.7 or 2.8. But the I'm sure I know other people have adapted that, the protocol to do that, but not them yet. So we'll see.
This came from our friend Neil Rapp. You know Neil.
Yeah, I know Neil.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Neil.
Neil wanted to remind everybody, he says, hi there. We're working to complete the funding of Yoda Camp 2026 in Huntsville soon. If you have a chance, I'd appreciate you mentioning the donate page on your show. Well, of course, we'll do that, Neil. It's youthontheair.org/donate. We stocked the Amazon wish list. And we'll need to order what hasn't been purchased from it by the end of the month. We're also looking for cash donations, and we will collect at Hamvention as well. Also, we're providing lunch snacks and drinks for the Utes at Hamvention during our social hour on noon, Friday and Saturday. 7-3, Neil Rapp, WB9-VPG, Youth on the Air, America's CAP Director. Youthontheair.org/donate. You can go there and contribute to that worthy effort.
Neil usually has a booth in one of the smaller buildings at Hamvention, doesn't he?
Yep.
It's with all the other STEM type stuff.
Yep.
So I guess drop by and say hi to Neil.
Yeah, and give him some money.
And empty your wallet.
What are you? Well,
don't go away. We'll be right back.
At the end of each month, it's Amateur Logic's Ham College, the new show for those new to the hobby and those wanting to get into amateur radio.
Which of the following is a purpose of the amateur radio service as stated in the FCC rules and regulations?
That inductor and capacitor form a tuned circuit. That's how you tune the radio to the frequency that you want. The English language.
We lived in town. I liked it. I listened to mine a lot. It was really cool because you didn't have to have a battery to power them.
There's our homemade telegraph station. We can use it for long distance communications. Oh, like, 3 feet here?
Across the table. The answer is B. Voltage was named after Italian physicist Alessandro Volta.
We can see we're generating a little bit of electricity there. It's DC.
It's always great to go back and get a refresher.
It sure is.
A lot of that stuff, if you've been a ham for a while like we have, you don't really think about a lot of that stuff that often.
They didn't have electric screwdrivers in those days, so that's why we're not using ones.
That's why we went primitive with it.
Yeah. So let's see if we can hear anything when we fire off our spark gap transmitter. Well, we didn't build anything or blow up anything today, but...
The night's still young.
Well, Mike, do you want to tell us about your OnlyFans?
Actually, that's Emil's title.
Oh.
Actually, when you run this, you'll notice that it's not necessarily just pertaining to fans, although this happened out of necessity. I had this fan that just suddenly died for no reason.
Repair or replace. About a year ago or so, I bought a couple of these fans, and one of them mysteriously stopped working one day. It came with a 1-year warranty, but as luck would have it, I was just out of the warranty period, so I either had to make a decision to repair or replace. I didn't pay much for these, as you can see by the ad there, but I just hate to see stuff like this end up in the landfill when it requires a simple repair. Well, we're going to find out just what is the cause of this fan to just stop dead in its tracks. I reverse engineered and came up with a schematic diagram so that I could keep things straight and help to explain to you viewers what's happening here. So we basically got a motor. It's an inductive motor with no brushes, and there's multiple windings as you can see there from the diagram. There's a start winding and then there's a main winding, which is tapped at several locations. And depending on what's fed power to those taps, determines the speed of the motor. And of course, that equates to the fan speed itself. Also to note there, there's a 3-speed selector switch and our thermal fuse, which you'll find out in a moment. In my particular case, it was open, and that was the cause of the failure. For some unknown reason, it opened up. And I have found through other experiences that these fuses tend to fail for basically no reason. I guess they have a shelf life, like many other things. And the other thing to note is there's a starting capacitor, which helps give a little bit more oomph when starting up the fan. One last thing to note here, you'll notice that the speed selector switch, you'll notice that from the off position, the first speed is always high. And that's by design, and that's to allow the startup torque to be overcome before you switch to a lower speed. So it always starts off at the highest speed. Although fans come in various sizes and styles, you'll find that they're basically the same in operation. Whether it's a desk fan or a tower fan, the controller boards vary, but basically the principle is the same. And in this case, I guess I shouldn't complain because looking at the specifications, the maximum run hours is 0 hours. So I got definitely more out of that before I gave up the Ghost. Okay, we're going to take the fan apart. And it's pretty obvious. I didn't take any pictures of this, but you can see by this diagram, there are several screws that need to be removed. And once you do that, it completely disassembles the fan and you'll have access to the motor and everything you need to do the repair. All you need is a single Phillips screwdriver. They're all the same. I think it's a Phillips number 2. Okay, we've got the fan disassembled and what you're left with is the fan assembly itself, namely the motor, and I left the blade attached. No need to remove that. If you look closely, you'll see two white wires and that's where the thermal fuse was attached to. In the next slide, you'll see what the fuse actually looks like. Here is the close-up view of the thermal fuse that I removed. You'll notice I cut the leads pretty short, but it still gave me enough to test with my multimeter to verify that indeed it was open. Here is a close-up view of the starting capacitor. In this particular case, it's a 3 microfarad, rated at 250 volts AC. And here is a 3-speed fan selector switch close-up. Here, Mill, you're going to like this one. My total cost for repair is $2.22, and that gives me 19 more repairs to do after that. When it comes to thermal fuses, we're going to have to be very careful not to destroy the fuse from the heat of our soldering iron. So we're going to need some form of heat sink while we're soldering. I recommend using a soldering iron with a very small tip. And only apply heat for as short as possible. And don't forget that heat sink. Before soldering the thermal fuse, I slipped a couple of pieces of small heat shrink tubing over each lead. Just be very, very careful. I didn't dare try to shrink the tubing the whole way. I just shrank the very bottom of it to hold it in place. And you can use a piece of electrical tape or whatever to kind of hold them in position. Their only job is to stop things from shorting out. I should point out that most of the fans use sleeve bearings or bushings rather than, you know, bearings with actual ball bearings in them. And it's probably a good idea while we're at it to clean the dust off and apply some lubricant before we reassemble everything. Here is a view of the actual bearing or bushing assemblies. And there's little plastic keepers inside the actual bracket, and they're kind of a floating bearing system, and there's an upper and a lower, and they allow the bearing not to be rigidly fixed. It allows them to pivot a little bit, and that accounts for slight variances in the production and so forth. This close-up gives you a better view of the bearing keeper. And you can see how it may actually allow that bearing to move a little bit just by looking at that picture. I won't go into the details, but the reassembly of your fan is done in the reverse order. There's no magic to that. Just organize yourself when you take it apart so that you remember where everything goes. Shown here are a couple examples of small appliances that I repaired, and it only required a thermal fuse. The fuses used in those appliances are slightly different. They're a microtemp fuse, but basically they work on the same principle. They cut out. They're one-shot fuse, and they cut out after a certain temperature is reached. And once you reach that temperature, they pop, and you have to replace them. Well, I hope this video helps inspire some of you to actually go about and tackle a repair rather than replacing. Of course, the thermal fuses are pretty inexpensive, so other than your time, it's a pretty cheap fix. And hopefully you'll save some appliances from the landfill. 7-3 for now from VE3MIC.
Mike, I think you incorrectly identified that part. That's not a thermal fuse. That's a warranty fuse.
Well, yeah, I guess you could kind of call it that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Especially when you got a specification for 0 hours.
Yes.
I saw that. And yes.
Mike, we use those clips. The little heat sink clips you showed there all the time in school when I was at the CET college place. So that was something we used all the time.
Especially on diodes.
Yeah, some of them are pretty sensitive to heat, that's for sure. And certainly a thermal fuse, being that it's thermal, you don't want to apply too much heat to them.
So it was a pack of 20. Are you expecting to need the other 19 to keep this thing going a few years?
So I'd like to revise my repair cost to 11 cents.
Okay. All right. Email? No?
He bought it in bulk. Too late.
Yeah.
Something I saw on a another device, the Keurigs, the coffee machines, they actually have like a reset button thermal thing in there.
Okay. Yep.
Instead of a fuse that you can actually go in and push in and press and reset it.
Oh, that's interesting. There's a device in electric dryers. They call them Clixon. And if they overheat, it's kind of like a bimetal thing, kind of like a circuit breaker does when the piece of bimetallic strip heats up. It actually changes the shape and it opens the circuit. And dryers have these round ones. I don't have one here right now, but I've had to change those.
Limit switches.
Yeah. So when they reach a temperature, they'll actually click and open the circuit. But once they cool down, they'll actually reactivate and go back to a closed condition. So they're kind of an auto resetting fuse once the temperature goes back down to normal. One thing I wanted to mention that I didn't mention in the video, a lot of times these fans, all they need to do is they just need a little lubricant. WD-40 is good for freeing up things. It's considered a solvent per se, but you don't want anything with solvents, like a penetrating oil or anything like that, because the trouble is it works well initially, but over time it doesn't last very long. So, if you're going to spend the time to open it up and repair it, you want to make sure that when you apply the lubricant that it's going to last. But WD-40 is good for a lot of things, but it's not long lasting.
You had a news item for us tonight.
Of course, unless you were living under a rock, you knew about the Artemis mission, which took 4 astronauts around the moon and back. And there was I noticed it right away, and I didn't think too much of it. I saw a floating jar of Nutella, and of course, it went viral in the media. Of course, there were a lot of rumors about whether or not it was a product placement for Nutella. It was pretty funny to see that thing floating by. But also, I can't take any credit for the next slide there, but somebody that I know had access to the Artemis or the Orion spacecraft. So that would be the only person that I know of that could have made this tag. By applying the Amateur Logic TV bumper sticker to the Orion capsule.
And if you wear your swag at Hamvention and come see us, you can have one for your terrestrial.
That's right. Capsule. Or your spacecraft.
Yes, if you fly around the moon, we'll give you one too.
Or fly around the neighborhood.
How many nerds got their name on the spacecraft with the boarding pass thing from NASA?
I saw
that. Definitely a nerd. Terry over in London says he's got the Mars rover boarding pass. See? You got nerds out there.
Yep. Well, Tommy?
Yes, sir.
There's so much going on in the world of amateur radio today. And just hams in general. Some of our friends. Slackers. one thing or another. Where could a fellow learn about such events?
Well, you can go to facebook.com/groups/amateurlogic.tv and get in all the local, the latest tidbits and news and information.
You know, I bet you could. Is there anywhere else you could, Mike?
Yeah, you could follow us at Amateur Logic on Twitter or X, as it's called now.
Yeah. Email any other ideas of where you might get the latest information.
I mean, you might even catch an email or two in groups.io/amateurlogic if you're paying attention.
You could.
Depending on what state you're in.
Yes. And, and then you would know where and when the next episode's going to be. We want to thank everyone for watching the show tonight. And if you would, if you're watching live or if you're watching a playback of it, down in the YouTube window right near the bottom, there's a little share button down there that you can click and share the word, let your friends know about the episodes, the show. There's also a thumbs up button, if you wouldn't mind that. If you enjoy the show, click on that. It's free. If you do subscribe and you watch the show live, you can participate in the chat room. You can watch the chat room anyway, right there on YouTube. But you can't post anything unless you're a subscriber, and that's to help us moderate the chat. Otherwise, too many screen door ads and things were popping up.
Yeah, literally.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here tonight, Tommy?
No. Next Amateur Logic will probably be after we return from Hamvention. So be sure and look us up. Even if you don't wear the swag, look us up anyway. Say hi. Mm-hmm. If you see us out there, we're always glad to meet everybody or see people again. Either
yeah.
way, but I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing a lot of you guys out there and ladies if you go.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun time as always. Looking forward to it. Email, I'm going to bring more than $1, but I don't know how much junk I'm going to buy. I mean, quality merchandise, but Tommy's coming in his truck, so I do have a way to get some stuff home now.
Ooh. Ah.
Yep.
Ah.
Yep. So
it's always good to have a friend with a truck.
That truck bed holds a lot of stuff.
Yep.
No kidding.
I'm hoping there's room for an old kilowatt AM broadcast transmitter and maybe about 120 feet of tower in there.
I might have to bring the trailer, too.
Uh-oh. Okay. Sounds like a trailer job, Tommy.
It does.
The next time college is going to be Friday, May the 8th. We're studying for the technician exam, and this will be our final episode on the technician exam.
It's going to be kind of a little bit of a long one, a little longer than
it
usual.
It is, yeah.
But it's going to be a good one. Action-packed.
Action-packed. Definitely. So join us there as well. Same place, live.amateurlogic.tv. And hamcollege.tv if you want to watch the replays. And if you got friends who want to become hams, interested in it, point them that direction. We got all the splaining right there. Any final thoughts, Emil?
I'm scheming my way to Huntsville in my mind. Not necessarily Hamvention, but definitely I'm sitting there talking to Kevin in the chat room too. Looks like he's working it again. You'll see us there and some other people. So maybe they'll start selling pork chop sandwiches there.
Oh, Huntsville?
They had Honey Baked Ham one time, but
at Huntsville?
There used to be a Honey Baked Ham booth there.
Really? I don't remember that.
I don't think it was there many years, but yeah, I think there was. I don't remember if they were selling hams, but I remember seeing a booth there.
They got the wrong show.
Yeah. Mike.
But if you're going to have a ham, spiral cut honey ham is the way to go.
Yep. Any final thoughts for tonight?
I have some antenna work to do. Also, I'm looking over on the side here. I have a... it's not a comet. It's actually a diamond. I can't remember the model. It starts with a C, but It's a mono band. It's about 8 feet long, fiberglass. So that's got to go up. And I've also got a stainless steel 102-inch whip, which is begging to be installed on my truck.
Okay.
So much for going through the drive-through.
So how is your 11-meter radio? Is it still working?
I don't know. I haven't fired up in years. I have a TRC-48, and that thing is just kind of ideal for converting to 10 meters, so who knows?
I found my old CB walkie-talkie, like the one they had on Stranger Things, the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I found that the other day. I lost it. I don't know what happened to it, but I ran across it in a box.
Yeah.
Would have been like a TRC something or other, TRC 81 or something like that.
I don't remember. I can post.
How many channel?
40.
Oh, wow. Oh,
really? It had a dial selector on it.
That was like a new one then.
I bought it. Yeah. I bought it in the mid 80s, maybe 80. What? No. Got married in 88. It probably was in 89,
88
or
89.
Wow.
Anybody get anything with FM? Yet, I don't have any 11 meter with FM.
I haven't even turned 11 meters on. The closest I've come to that is turning my receiver over there to see if I heard anything.
Well,
I heard some stuff. I didn't like what I heard, so I turned it away pretty quick.
I've got several that could be 11 meter FM units, but I hadn't pulled the diode or whatever you need to do on any of them. But you can listen.
Yeah. I was just going to say, don't transmit.
Yeah.
Even if you cut the power back to 4 watts, you're still illegal. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you again next month when we've got our Hamvention wrap-up episode. Don't know what we're going to shoot yet, but we'll find out when we get there.
Something.
Yeah, it won't be a snipe. You catch those in bags. You don't.
Yeah.
You know.
What does Jerry Clower say? Shoot up amongst us. I need some relief or something.
Yeah, one of us got to have some relief.
Jocelyn usually heads over there, don't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's right up the road from there.
Been corresponding with him this week. So, yeah.
Looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
Good folks.
All right. 7-3, everyone.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3. 7-3.